Welcome to Talking Travel on 2NURFM on a Friday afternoon. Sally Lucas joins us once again. Good afternoon, Sally.
Hi there. How are you?
Radiant. Absolutely radiant.
Right, I love it. Gosh, I've never heard you describe yourself like that before, Greg. Well,
it's a Friday. The sun's out. How can you not be radiant today?
Exactly. So am I.
Where are we looking at today, Sally?
I thought we might finish off in some of those European cities a little bit, you know, off the beaten track.
Yep.
And a few other places as well, not just within Europe. I thought, you know, somewhere different you might want to go in and around Asia and some of those destinations and a couple of little new airline bits and bobs.
Oh, I love bits and bobs.
That's good.
And bobs on a Friday. Off the beaten track again?
Yeah, I think so. We'll just stick with that theme for this week as well. I think, why not? Seeing as I'd already only gone through about half of it last week, I may as well continue.
May as well. Well, you said 20, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I don't know how many we went through last week in the end, but we went through a few.
It wasn't 20.
No, it wasn't 20 anyway. So we'll continue a few of those in Europe is what we're talking about here. And the next one is in Portugal. And Portugal, if you haven't been, is a gorgeous country and it's got a lovely coastline. And if you've ever watched any of the big surf there, my man, when you see some of those waves coming across the Atlantic, you know, where all the big surfers go, they frighten the bejesus out of me.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't either. I mean, they're monsters.
If you've got to get a jet ski to take you out there, then you probably should be doing it.
But anyway, apart from all that, there is lots of other things. It's a lot of whitewashed buildings, terracotta roofs, very pretty picturesque villages. A lot of people speak English because they've always had a close tie with Britain because the British were, you know, were part of Portugal for a while and involved in Portugal. So it's, and of course you've got the lovely Douro River, which is one of the oldest wine producing areas on a river in Europe. And mainly fortified wines, but of course they go beyond that now as well. That's what they were famous for, the original sherries and all those sort of fortified
ports.
Yes. And there's a town called Porto, which is on the Douro River, and it's a gorgeous town as well. But this one here is called Montserrat, and it's right at the top, close to the border of Spain, and it's got beautiful elevated views with views of the river around them, and it's a car-free town, so that's sort of like nice. You can just wander around. I love car-free towns. I think they're great.
Yep.
And it's got a wonderful 13th century castle there as well. Now, everyone goes to Switzerland. You always hear of everyone going, yes, we're doing the Alps and we'll do the lovely rail journey and we'll go to Lake Geneva and we'll go, you know, to where else? Which I think Lucerne, which is gorgeous, Interlaken. But actually the capital of Bern itself, when people don't often realise Bern is the capital, they think it's probably Zurich or something, but no, it's Bern. And it's actually a gem of medieval architecture, and it's on a river as well, which is always lovely. And you've got snow-covered Alps visible from just about anywhere in the city. So it's really quite picturesque, and it's got a famous clock tower there as well. And you've still got these always a fountain or a statue seems to be on nearly every corner, cobblestone streets. And it is the capital, but it's a lovely small capital by comparison to others.
It's Bern.
B-E-R-N, Bern.
Right. Never would know that.
Well, there you go. That's something you've learned today.
I'm going to have to put that in the old back of the head, I think, for a trivia question. I think.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realise, I tell you. The same as with Canada. A lot of people don't realise what the capital of Canada is. They all go to, say, Vancouver.
I was just about to say that, and I would have been an absolute idiot.
Yep. What's your second choice?
Toronto?
No.
I don't know then.
Ottawa.
Oh. Right.
So there you go. See? Two things you've learnt today.
Two questions I've got.
Now, moving right along, in Germany there's a really lovely town called Rothenburg, which I have been to, and they're like all little gingerbread houses, and they say it was rumoured to be the inspiration for Disney's Pinocchio.
Okay.
So it's really, you know, again, a medieval Bavarian town, and it's magical year-round, but even more so at Christmas time. So it's one of those delightful towns that you can go to in Germany. And there's lots of delightful towns in Germany, of course.
There's no witches there, is there?
Not that I saw or know of.
I'm just thinking with a gingerbread house. And
yeah, right. Okay. Slovenia. Now, I know for our dear listeners who come from Slovenia, I apologise in advance for my pronunciation. My Slovenian or Serb, whatever the language is not good. Radovljica. Anyway, it's on the way to Lake Bled, which is very beautiful and it's quite famous. But this is only about 7 or so kilometres from this beautiful turquoise lake of Lake Bled. But again, you're atop a hill, which a lot of the villages were built for their protection and safety from marauding, you know, or attacking people back in the old days. Most of these lovely original villages in Europe are perched on a hill and often with a wall around them as well. And so that is another one where you've still got medieval buildings there, including a defence wall, as we've just talked about, and a moat. And it's got a really interesting museum of apiculture. Now, there's another one for you. What's apiculture?
This is getting a bit too... This is like I feel like at school today. I have no idea what apiculture
beekeeping.
Is. Beekeeping.
Oh. Like an apiary is a bee. You know, a beehive is an apiary. Not an aviary, but an apiary. So it's an apiculture museum. So look, that's just a few of those. And then I've also thought we might talk about some other areas within close to us around Asia as well with the next segment, of just so that we can keep things a little bit closer to home as well.
So we're going from Europe, now we're popping back to Asia.
Then we're going to pop back to Asia. Keep us warm. It's been the coldest May in history, hasn't it? I'd be lucky to be in Asia right now.
Sally is taking us kind of off a bit of the beaten trail, looking at some cities we wouldn't normally go to. We've been to Europe and now we're heading to Asia.
Asia, Polynesia, Australia, a bit of everything. This is an article, might have been a month or two back now, was in the Financial Review, have a Life and Leisure magazine, part of their, you know, production every so often. Mm-hmm. And Tony Wheeler, who was the Lonely Planet co-founder, which he has sold off now, but he had a lot of these things based into categories of cruising, air travel, and hot list adventures, like if you want to do something that you're a really intrepid traveller and you want to do something different.
Yeah.
So one of the ones he did, he and his wife Maureen, they did a 16-day Kirkhope Aviation private jet tour through Northern Australia. And they said that was just absolutely amazing just to be flying, you know, over this wonderful outback part of Australia, which I just love. And I think I've mentioned this to you before, Greg, but when you go anywhere that has got an expansive landscape, to do an aerial flight over it, you know, whether it be Kakadu, whether it be Flinders Ranges, but you can't
I
get the concept.
In Africa, you told me.
Yeah, look, just about anywhere, like whether it's the Great Rift Valley, whether it's, you know, going over, I did a flight over the falls, for example, you know, in Zimbabwe and so on. Like you just get this perspective that you're not going to get at ground level. So when you're doing a flying tour, you can imagine the wonderful perspective, because you're not flying as you are in a jet when you're just going from A to B. You're not at 30,000 feet. So you're flying at a much lower altitude, so you really get to see the countryside, and of course you're landing as well to see it from land as well. But this particular one went to Birdsville, it went to Darwin, Mount Borrowdale, which is in Arnhem Land, Jabiru, the Berkeley River Lodge, Kimberley Coastal Camp, Broome, Exmouth, the Kurringi National Park, Uluru, Coober Pedy. Like, you know, you couldn't get to all those by car in months.
No, yeah.
You'd be on the road constantly. So something like that, if you've got limited time, but you do want to see a lot of our outback, there's some wonderful private air safaris now. You can get your own group together, or they do have also some set departures, obviously, where, you know, you can book along with whomever you're going. They use, I think it's Beechcraft, King Air aircraft, which are wonderful aircraft. Our son used to fly one of those, actually, and he said they fly at mum, not much. They can go to a really high altitude if they need to, like not as far as 30,000 feet, but they can go up to about 25,000 feet. So they've got that, you know, both. They can get away from bad weather if they need to go higher, or, you know, when you want to see something, they can go lower. So that's great. So that's something really different. Now, also in Europe, we've been talking a lot about Europe today, but not just, we've talked about towns, but also just think of countries, like think of alternatives to a lot of the countries within Europe have become so super busy now that if you really don't want to be in that sort of mindset of throngs of people, you know. So think about Albania, Romania, you know, all these. Albania is just north of Greece, and like Croatia's got the most incredible coastline. Think of Georgia. And they're still cheap because the tourism there hasn't become as well.
Croatia is very popular at the moment as well.
That's right. Or even Bulgaria. I mean, even Jordan in the Middle East, because it's a wonderful place to visit from a historical point of view. I know it's close to where there's conflict at the moment, but, you know, when it's obviously things have settled down, Jordan's a wonderful country to go to. But even in Bulgaria, I remember Tony's written about this town, and I thought, I bet you, I had never heard of it before, and I don't know how many other people have been to Bulgaria, but we went to a town called Plovdiv, And it's got such an unusual, it's like Mark with his hurdy-gruit and he loves the sound of it. I like the sound of Plovdiv. But he said he thought it was has a romantic ring to it. Well, I've never sort of quite thought of it that way. But they, again, it's been built on top of an old Roman stadium where it used to hold 30,000 spectators and you've got all this history again. You know, but you're going to see history, but you're seeing it not with crowds.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. Polynesia, for example, you can do a cruise like the Hurdy-Gruit and you've got the Aranui 5, which is a cargo vessel as well as a passenger vessel, so you're not just a cruise ship per se. And that's really good too because they go to all the islands where they have to deliver goods to. And the only way you can get there is by vessel. There's no other means. There's no airports. So, again, you're going into places where you're not going to have crowds and you're going to see the island people live the life where they've always lived it. Nothing's changed. So there's so many things you can do there. And even in Asia, like we talk about Bali, there's lots of other Indonesian islands you can go to where life is still simple and basic. So you don't have to go to the crowded Kutus, Seminyak, etc. You can go to lots of other lovely areas. Same in Malaysia. They've got lots of islands around these countries where you can still get beautiful, idyllic. The Philippines, you know, there's just so many areas you can go to, explore, have your quiet, have your chill out time, but also still experience local culture and history. So, yeah, just got to widen your mind a bit.
Exactly. Well, that's what we all should do a bit more of, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Widen our minds a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good thing. And I think that's what travel does to you. It does open your mind to new experiences and new cultures. And that's the great thing about travel, as far as I'm concerned. It's experiencing all that, the food, the culture, the history, opening your mind to how other people live. Exactly. Yep.
Are you looking for a bit of bips and bobs soon? Or?
Yeah, I might do that with the hot deals.
Sally, you've got some hot deals also. Bits and bobs.
You've been waiting for this all afternoon. All right. Well, this is Emirates, and what they've done for their customers, they're giving them complimentary access to four of Dubai's top attractions when they fly with them. So you get free tickets to the Wild Wadi Water Park, Dubai Parks and Resorts, the View at the Palm, and the AYA Universe. Now, the AYA Universe is an interactive journey through an imagined universe filled with luminous gardens, mesmerising galaxies and dazzling lights. You know, anything Dubai will do will be bigger and brighter than anywhere else. That's what Dubai is all about. The View at the Palm, well, that's actually the iconic Palm Jumeirah, which is an incredible resort-style property where you just get wonderful views from the top of the Palm Tower. The Dubai Parks and Resorts, you get free access to one of the participating theme parks. So they've got one called Motion Gate, Legoland Dubai, Legoland Water Park, or Real Madrid World. And then you've got the Wild Wadi Water Park. Well, that speaks for itself, what that is. So that's not a bad deal, though, is it, if you're flying with them?
Yeah.
Now, you can book this up until the 3rd of June. You can be eligible so long as you're travelling between the 25th of May, which is tomorrow, up until the 31st of August.
All right. So you want to kind of get your skates on for that one, I guess.
You do. And just quickly, I was just reading an article the other day, and I must admit I didn't realise now, but just for people who are wanting to do the southern part of Western Australia, and particularly the Margaret River region, the Jetstar actually flies from Sydney to Busselton now three times a week. So that means saves that extra few hours drive from Perth down, even if you want to finish up flying out of Perth home. But at least, you know what I mean, if you're thinking of that Margaret River region and down the bottom of the southwest, I thought that was just a good thing to keep in mind, that you can fly to Busselton now if you didn't want to go to Perth. Okay, now some hot deals. Intrepid, that wonderful adventure-based company, has got up to 20% off a selection of their trips, but this is only available until next Friday, the 31st of May. We're talking about 13,500 departures across all their tours. I mean, they go anywhere in the world, just about everywhere, every continent in the world, but they are adventure-based.
I don't think we'll have time to name all of them.
I won't. I won't even start. Let's just say there's plenty out there. another one that also ends next week, these are all quick sale ones today, MSC Cruises. They're having what they call their flash sale, and they've got savings of up to 34%. On cruise sailings from July to November this year, which they cover the areas of the Mediterranean, the lovely northern area of Europe, and also the Caribbean. So if you're interested in that, they've got a whole range of beautiful itineraries going around the Med, particularly I was looking at the other day. They really have dropped the prices quite significantly. Just to give you an idea, there's one cruise here from Southampton on the 28th of September, 14 nights, 15 days. It starts from under $1,800 per person. I mean, that's all your meals and everything for 2 weeks on board your vessel. That's pretty good value for money.
Very good.
And that's going from Southampton all the way down through Santiago de Compostela, Portugal in Lisbon, Cadiz, which is a port for Sevilla, Malaga, Valencia in Spain, Barcelona, Palma de Mallorca in the Balearic Islands, Alicante at Costa Blanca. So it's doing that wonderful Spain-Portugal region. But there's lots of others. There's another one that's a seven-night one that's doing all around Venice, Greece, etc., Croatia. And it's only from around 1400. So they're really good value for money. But you've got to book by next week. What else have I got? Oh, there's also Top Deck Travel. They've got what they call sail and swim trips. Mainly for sociable people who wanting the boat life.
I'm assuming that was going to be the case.
Yes. So they are on small vessels where everything's provided for you to enjoy the water, basically. So they're mainly, of course, in Croatia and Turkey, the famous coastlines for doing all that sort of stuff. So, yes, and I think, well, they're beautiful. They're not cruise ships, sorry, is what I'm trying to say. They're small boats that you're going on. So just a small group of people, so very intimate, but really, really great. And just for some fun, I mean, you've got refreshing swim stops, lovely jaw-dropping scenery, time to hang with a crew, maximum group of only 36, and they get breakfast and lunches on board the boat each day, and they even get orientation walk-around tours at each town you go to as well. So that's a really good as well. So they've got some lovely trips on sale for that. And if you've never been to the Kimberley before, which I rave about constantly, Ponant has just got some last-minute savings for September this year until it books out. It's and they're including now, with all their Kimberley tours, free airfares to get you there as well.
That's very handy.
So that's a good part of your package because to fly from here to Broome is not cheap. So just consider that as well. But you'd have to jump in early to get advantage of that one. So that's about it for today, Greg.
So, Lucas, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm assuming you'll be back next week.
Yeah, of course I will.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.